Hey guys, Kyle back with Kyle Burrow's Unedited Podcast, episode number 110. Oof, a lot to get into today. Reactions from everything NFL to start. And then we're going to get in some player rankings for the NBA season, my final NBA award predictions for the season, my top 11 teams, my top 11 NBA power rankings, and my final NBA standing predictions heading into the season. I'll also give you who I think is going to be in the conference finals, who I think is going to be in the NBA finals, who's going to win the NBA finals. Then we're going to get into all college football stuff, reactions, Heisman rankings, power rankings, top five games of the week. And then at the end, it's going to be all combat, UFC 294 reactions, and then Fury and Ngannou preview to end it all off. But let's get into some of my main reactions here to NFL Week 7. Wow. Vikings upset the Niners 22-17 here on Monday Night Football. What a win. I'll apologize right now and on Thursday to my buddy Carter for my Vikings slander. What a win by the Vikings. Huge win. They're back in it. They're back in the playoff race for sure. Definitely that wild card. Still play the Lions twice. They're not dead. Can Jefferson come back? They're not dead at all. What a win. We're going to get into more about Kirk Cousins here in a bit, but what a win for them. The O-line was brilliant. No sacks tonight. Defense was tremendous. Picked off Purdy twice. What a win for the Vikings here on Monday Night Football. Bills look bad again. This time they end up losing at the end of the game, though, to the Patriots. 29-25. Mac Jones to Mike Gesicki to win the game. Bills, I was listening to a podcast. You know, the Bills are a really, like, they're the best good, how do I word this? They're the best good, they're the best bad good team. Like, they're really good, but boy, are they bad. I mean, really, they're so inconsistent. It's tough to gauge the Bills. Are they contenders? Are they not? I don't know. I mean, again, it would be a shame if you got the 2 or 3 seed and Buffalo sneaks into the playoffs at 7-6 and your first round matchup is Buffalo. That would suck, right? But man, that's a bad, bad loss. Ravens impressed me. They run through the Lions 38-6 at home. That was impressive by them. Lamar, his best game of the season. We'll get into him a little bit in here in a little bit as well. What a win for the Ravens. Chiefs offense clicked a bit more, right? Looked a lot better. They handled the Chargers 31-17. Who knew we'd get to the end of Week 7? The AFC West is done. The Chiefs have won the division. Obviously not in a, you know, not really they haven't, but they have, right? Those teams aren't catching them. You know, Chiefs are going to win at minimum 12 games. Those teams are, none of, I don't think any of those three are going to get to 9 or 9. Really, I think they're all going to be under 500. So yeah, that division is over. Steelers improved to 4-2, win in LA 24-17. I don't want to say about the Steelers. I don't think they're very good, but here they are at 4-2. That whole division is really good. What, Bengals 3-3, Steelers and Browns 4-2, and the Ravens 5-2. What a division. And then the Eagles handled the Dolphins. Again, the Dolphins, they've played two good teams this year. They've lost by double-digit points both those times. How good are the Dolphins? I don't know, but the Eagles looked really good. Good bounce back for them. Let's get into some Week 8 game predictions. Yes, we have them ready for you, of course. My brother hit his upset of the week. It was the Vikings. If you remember listening to last week's pod, what a pick by him. I mean, it was kind of a shitty week, so it was kind of a shot in the dark. But he goes to 3-4 now. I fall to 3-4. He had a better week than me. He takes a 1-up lead in the game prediction. So he gets his upset of the week pick first. He chose the Buccaneers over the Bills on Thursday Night Football, 27-24. I'm going to take the Bills to bounce back 27-17. Sunday early games, we both have the Cowboys. I have Cowboys 27-20. He has Cowboys 28-23. Texans at Panthers. We're both taking the Texans. I have 24-21. He has 20-17. Vikings at the Packers. We're both taking the Vikings. 20-17 for me and 31-20 for him. Saints at Colts. We differ. I take the Saints 26-23. He's taking the Colts 21-17. Patriots at Dolphins. We both expect the Dolphins to bounce back and it to be a rout. I have 34-20. He has 37-12. Jets at Giants. We both have the Jets in a close one. I got 19-16. He's got 23-21. Jaguars at Steelers. Both have the Jags. I got Jags 30-27. He's got Jags 28-17. Falcons at Titans. We do differ here. I have the Titans 23-20. He has the Falcons 25-16. Eagles at Redskins. We differ. I have the Eagles. He's going for another upset here. I'm going Eagles 31-24. He's got the Redskins 24-20. Brown Sunday, about midday games, around your 3:30, 4:30 Eastern games. Browns at Seahawks. I'm taking the Browns 24-23. He's taking the Seahawks 20-17. Ravens at Cardinals. We both have the Cardinals. Almost shows the exact same score. I have 34-20. He has 35-20. Bengals at Niners. I mean, again, I'm just taking the Bengals because I think it seems like such a live dog, like a team that talented to get them, you know, to get them above their 3.5 threshold. I'm going to take the Bengals 27-24. Not sure if I actually believe they'll win. I think it'll be close, but I'm going to take the Bengals my upset of the week. He's going to take the Niners to win 24-20. Chiefs at Broncos. I mean, come on, we're both taking the Chiefs. I'm going a little closer, though. Division game can be weird, mile high. I'm going 24-16 Chiefs. He's going 31-17 Chiefs. Sunday night, Monday Night Football are terrible. Bears at Chargers. We both have the Chargers by 10. I got 31-21. He's got 30-20. And Monday Night Football, again, Raiders at Lions, kind of shitty here. I'm going Lions 30-17 to bounce back. He's going Lions 24-16. So those are our predictions for Week 8's games. Let's get into my rankings post-Week 7. I'm going to grab a drink, and then we'll get into those. All right. Chiefs, number one for me. Great win for them. Division win. I stopped betting against Chiefs to win the AFC West, right? They dominate the AFC. They own the AFC West. Eagles at 2. Impressive bounce back after a terrible performance against the Jets. They get a, you know, Jets division rival, the Dolphins, and they thump them at home. They're 6-1. Ravens, they've impressed me. And, you know, I've never really been a believer in Lamar and the Ravens, but here I am. They're at 3. They look really good. They're at 5. They're 5-2. Here come the Jaguars again. Played sloppy late, but got it done on the road on Thursday night. 5-2, Jags at 4. I dropped the Niners to 5. Brock Purdy has not played well his last two games at all. They just really haven't clicked very well the last couple games. But they're down to 5. Still a Super Bowl contender. And we'll bring tears back into for next week's pod. But yeah, Niners here at 5. Dolphins at 6. Could have dropped them a little lower. I thought about putting the Cowboys over them, but I'm going to go the Dolphins here. At 5-2, they're going to be here at 6. Cowboys are at 7. They got a big one with the Rams coming up at home on Sunday. Bills dropped to 8. They're 4-3. Again, I just don't know what to do about the Bills. Like, could they be lower? For sure they could be. But I'm going to see what happens. I think they bounce back big against the Bucks, in my honest opinion. But we'll see what happens. Browns, 4-2 at 9. Again, they win. Their defense didn't look great this time around, but they found a way to win. Watson could just stay healthy. He has a good team around him, a good defense, a good O-line. Kareem Hunt's playing well. Jerome Ford's playing well. Good weapons. I still like the Browns. Bengals at 10, they didn't play, but I do like where the Bengals are going. And Joe Burrow is getting healthier, and now he gets a bye. That's why I kind of like them against the Niners. Coming off a bye, Joe Burrow's even going to be even more healthy. I like the Bengals right now. Lions dropped to 11 for me. Yeah, they got spanked. Jets were on a bye. They are at 12. They play the Giants. Seahawks are at 13 for me. Still not a full believer in Seattle, but they do look good. I actually, my first time probably, oh no, I had the Bengals in here at one point. Vikings at 3-4. I put them in here at 14. I don't think the Vikings are, they're definitely not as good as they were last year, obviously, but I don't also think they were as bad as their 1-4 showed. I think there's still a good chance they could end up turning around and making the playoffs and getting in the wild card. There's a lot of football left. Justin Jefferson is going to come back. Now Jordan Addison is starting to really get some confidence. Can they get the run game going now with trading for Cam Akers? The O-line looked really good tonight. The defense really the last 2 weeks has looked good. Steelers at 15. Again, you know how I feel about Steelers, and then Falcons at 16. I don't think either of these teams are good, but here they are. Falcons are leading their division, and the Steelers are in the race. So QB chopping block's a little different this week. I didn't put anybody on the block, but I do have a guy on deck, and that is Brock Purdy. He's on deck. I'm going to give him a little slander here for sure. He's been terrible the past 2 weeks. I wouldn't say terrible tonight, but not good. Against Cleveland, though, 12 for 27, 125, a touchdown and a pick. He was awful. Tonight, 21 for 30, 272, a touchdown, but two horrible interceptions. Horrible interceptions. If he has another bad stinker next week, he's going to be the guy on the block, for sure. Bit of praise. I got two guys on here for a bit of praise. I'm going to start with Kirk Cousins. What a game. The most passing yards on the Niners defense this year. He was 35 for 45. 378, two touchdowns, had the one pick early, but was absolutely flawless after the pick. After the pick, he was flawless. What a night for Kirk Cousins. He's got him back. Here they are. Can they make a little run here? You know, they got the Packers division game, winnable division game on the road. We'll see. They could be 4-4 after next week. And then Lamar Jackson, again, a guy that I've said, I still don't believe that if in a winner-take-all game it was Lamar versus Burrow, Allen, or Mahomes, I would take Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't. I would take the other quarterbacks. But he gets some praise. I mean, he was spectacular against the Lions. 21 for 27, 357, three touchdowns, no picks, also a rushing touchdown. Four total touchdowns, no turnovers. What a game by Lamar. He deserves all the praise. He was spectacular against Detroit. Great job there by Lamar. Well, let me get another sip, and then we're going to get some rankings here. All right. My player rankings. We're going to first go by position. My top 11 at each position. And if you're a listener, you don't like the list, I welcome the criticism. I welcome a message to argue your point, and I'll give you why I have these guys here. Some people are not going to like where Wimby is on the list. Some people are not going to like that Chet's on this list. I don't care. This is my list, but we can argue. Debate. I don't like an argument. Debate, though. So centers. Jokic 1. AD 2, Embiid 3. Yes, I have AD over Embiid. I think AD is as talented offensively and is much better defensively than Embiid. Health is the main thing for Anthony Davis, but I think he is a better player than Joel Embiid. I have Bam at 4, Sabonis at 5. I do have Wembanyama at 6, and I know people are going to hate that I have him over Triple J. I'm not high on Triple J. I think he's been gifted some defensive player of the years. Or he was gifted the defense player of the year. I don't think he was the defense player of the year. He's not a great rebounder for a big. He's not. Can't control himself. Fouls a lot. He's a huge fouler. Don't love that. I just don't think he's that good of a player, as good as people think. Kristaps at 8, DeAndre 8 and 9, Chet Holmgren 10, and Brook Lopez 11. Center is fairly deep, though. There's some guys I left off this list, like Jared Allen, Nick Claxton, Vucevic, Miles Turner, Rudy Gobert, Jonas Valanciunas, Alperen Sengun. There's some studs I left off this list. Centers and point guards, very deep. Power forward, I have Giannis 1, Cat 2, Zion 3, and this is my last year holding out for Zion, though. Paolo Banchero 4, Evan Mobley 5, Pascal Siakam 6, Julius Randle 7, Kyle Kuzma 8, Keegan Murray, 9, Aaron Gordon, 10, and Jabari Smith, 11. Some guys I left off against, Jeremy Grant, Cam Johnson, Draymond Green, Hachimura, and John Collins. Power forward's kind of weak, though. Small forward, LeBron James, 1, Kevin Durant, 2, Jason Tatum, 3, Jimmy Butler, 4, Kawhi Leonard, 5, Paul George, 6, Lowry, Markkanen, 7. I think this will get some debate. Markkanen, Ingram. I have Markkanen over Ingram, who's at 8. I think that'll get some debate for sure. Mikal Bridges, 9. DeMar DeRozan, 10. Andrew Wiggins, 11. Some guys I left off, though. Franz Wagner, MPJ, Chris Middleton, Scottie Barnes, Jalen Williams for the Thunder. Some studs there. Shooting guards. Devin Booker, 1. Clear. Anthony Edwards, 2. Donovan Mitchell, 3. Bradley Beal, 4. Jaylen Brown, 5. Zach LaVine, 6. Desmond Bane, 7. Tyrese Maxey, 8. Jalen Green, 9. Klay Thompson, 10. CJ McCollum, 11. I left off some tough guys, though. A lot of guys that were left off. Guys, you know, you could argue Jordan Poole, Anthony Simons, you know, guys like that. Point guards the most stacked. They're the most represented in my top 26. I believe 10 of my 11 are in my top 26. I think point guards so deep. Steph Curry, 1. Luka, 2. Dame Lillard, 3. Kyrie Irving, 4. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 5, John Morant, 6, Trae Young, 7, De'Aaron Fox, 8. It feels so weird having some of these guys so low. That's how deep point guard is. Jalen Brunson, 9, LaMelo Ball, 10, Jamal Murray, 11. But guys, I mean, look at some of the guys you leave out, that I left out. Haliburton, Drew Holiday, Darius Garland, Cade Cunningham, Chris Paul. Stacked list. So let's go into my top 26 overall. So again, point guard was the most represented. 10 guys out of my 26 are point guards. One, Jokic heading into the year. Giannis, 2. LeBron James, 3. Steph Curry, 4. Luka Doncic, 5. Kevin Durant, 6. His teammate Devin Booker, 7. Jason Tatum, 8. Anthony Davis, 9. Joel Embiid, 10. So that is my top 10. 11, Jimmy Butler. 12, Dame Lillard. 13, Kyrie Irving. 14, SGA. 15, Kawhi Leonard. 16, Ja Morant. 17, Trae Young. 18, Anthony Edwards. 19, Paul George. And 20, Donovan Mitchell. So there's my 1 through 20. And the last 6, De'Aaron Fox, 21. Jalen Brunson, 22. LaMelo Ball, 23. Bradley Beal, 24. Bam Adebayo, 25. And Karl Anthony Towns, 26. It's tough to fit them all. You know, I know there's going to be some bitching and who's not on there. Don't call me with the Jalen Brown bullshit, though, okay? So, MVP. So, my final NBA award prediction. So, this is what I'm sticking to right now for my award predictions. Six man. I'm going to go Malik Monk. I'm going to go on a limb and go Malik Monk for the Kings. I think he could be an 18-20 a game guy off the bench for them. I really like Malik Monk. He was a stud for the Lakers. He was good last year for the Kings. I think he takes even more of a step this year with them. And I have him for Sixth Man of the Year. Most Improved, I'm going Cade Cunningham. I think he takes a jump into the 22, 23 points a game this year. I think he wins Most Improved. Coach of the Year, Mark Daigneault for the Thunder. You'll see why when it comes to my my predictions for the playoffs and stuff like that. They're not going to be a play-in team. They're going to be a playoff team. I think they're a 6-5 seed. Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going Anthony Davis. I think he's going to come in healthy. I think the reason why he's going to stay healthy is he's not going to have to battle with the big boys as much, because we did sign two other centers that I think will play a lot, and I think you're going to see a lot of AD at the four, and I think that's going to change him and not having to get those big body blows with the really big guys. I think Anthony Davis is going to have an incredible year, and I think he wins Defensive Player of the Year. Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go Wemby, but there's three guys that I think have a legit chance and that all should be around it. Wemby, I would not be shocked with Scoot, because if he plays the whole year, he might put up the best stats. And Chet Holmgren, the only reason I'm a little reluctant on Chet is because he plays on such a good team. Will the numbers be there, right? I'm going to go Wemby. I think Scoot, though, is a close second, with Chet is also there as well. And MVP, they like to bounce it around. Embiid's not going to win another one. They're going to go... I think this team is going to be a top 2 seed in their conference. I think this guy's going to put up a lot of really good numbers. I'm going to go Jason Tatum for league MVP this year. I think Jason Tatum will capture his first league MVP of the season. So that's who I'm going with for my awards. So my first top 11 NBA power rankings, I'm going to try to put these out every week we do a pod, based on just how teams are playing at the moment. But my first one, as of October 24th, Tuesday, these will be my top 11 teams going into this week, the start of the NBA season. I'm going Suns 1, Bucks 2. And again, you might see some difference from where I think teams will finish seeding-wise, because I don't have the Grizzlies in my top 11 going in, but I think they're going to be good enough to where that they're going to still be able to get a good seed in the playoffs. Probably not a top 3 seed, but I think 6-4. But they're not going to be one of my top 11 teams with no jaw going in. So it's going to be Suns 1, Bucks 2, Nuggets 3, Lakers 4, Celtics 5, Kings 6, I love the Kings, Cavs 7, Thunder 8, Warriors 9, not as high as everybody else on the Chris Paul thing, Clippers 10, Knicks 11. That's my first NBA power rankings. So my final predictions heading into my final NBA standing predictions heading into the season. In the East, missing the play-in. Not making the playoffs at all. Bulls 11, Pistons 12, Raptors 13, Wizards 14, Hornets 15. I know, hate that for LaMelo, but I think their roster's shit. Play-in teams, so 7, 8, 9, 10. Heat 7, Hawks 8, Magic 9, and Pacers 10. I think both those teams get in this year. 1 through 6, so 6, the 76ers. 5th, the Brooklyn Nets. I think they're just going to be a really good regular season team. Don't know if they'll do much in the playoffs, but I think they're going to be a good regular season team. Knicks 4, Cavs 3, Celtics 2, Bucks 1 is my East. Now in the West, missing the playoffs, 11 Rockets, 12 Wolves, 13 Jazz, 14 Spurs, 15 Blazers. My play-in team, 7, 8, 9, 10, Warriors 7, Clippers 8, Mavs 9, Pelicans 10. My 6 through 1, Thunder 6, Grizzlies 5, Kings 4, Lakers 3, Nuggets 2, Suns 1. Conference finals pick, I'm going Bucks, Celtics in the East, Bucks in 7, Suns, Lakers in the West, I'm going Lakers in 6, Giannis versus LeBron in the finals, Lakers in 7. Yep, you knew it was coming. Don't act like you didn't know that shit was coming. But yeah, that's what I'm going with. I cannot wait for NBA season to start. It's going to be awesome. Interest to see a lot of guys. Wemby, Chet, two guys that are high on my list, and I'm can't wait to see how some of these new rosters look. The Suns' big three, the Bucks' new duo, the Celtics with Kristaps. Is Ben Simmons actually going to be, you know, back to being good? Clippers' health. Chris Paul with the Warriors. Defensively, I think they're going to struggle. Again, just the Thunder and the Kings. They're my dark horse for the finals, so I like them a lot. So let's get into some... So we're doing now. What do we got? Oh, yep, college football. Sorry, I'm going to get a drink, and then we're getting to college football talk. My top five reactions to week 8. Ohio State beats Penn State in a defensive battle, 20-17. Wasn't a thrilling game, to say the least. But big win for Ohio State. Gets their chances. Their defense is so good. If they had a quarterback that was real, like if they had C.J. Stroud with this defense, they'd be the best team in the country by far. Kyle McCord's just, he's okay, you know, but he's not special, and that can hurt you. Alabama roars back to beat Tennessee 34-20. What a win for Bama. I mean, there's still a chance. I mean, I seriously think Bama runs the if they run the table, they beat LSU. They're probably going to be 11-1 heading into the SEC title game. They beat Georgia. They're in the playoff. Utah goes into SoCal and upsets USC again 34-32, ending USC's dreams of the playoff. It's over. Season's kind of a wrap. They still got to play Oregon and Washington. Tough slotting for SC. Great win for Utah, though. Florida State starts slow, but storms back to beat Duke 38-20. Good win for Florida State to remain unbeaten. And this possibly ended North Carolina's college football playoff hopes. One win, Virginia shocks North Carolina 31-27. That was a bad loss for Carolina, man. Really bad loss. And before we get into rankings, we'll talk a little bit about Michigan. I haven't read in too much. Just what I've read is that, you know, it's potential that sounds like some guys were going in and filming the other team's sidelines and trying to get signals and stuff. It's kind of funny, you think about it. Michigan could not beat Ohio State ever. And then all of a sudden, they after the COVID year, they just beat Ohio State. They beat everybody in the Big Ten. But then they get to the playoff and they can't win, right? But, you know, they're scouting these Big Ten teams. It's kind of funny to think about, you know. We'll see what happens with it. Not looking good, though, from what I've read and heard. Not looking great for Michigan, but we'll see what happens with that. They got a couple big games left on the schedule. Will they matter? So my post-week 8 top 6 Heisman rankings. And at the very end, we'll get into my one NBA day pick is back. I'll do that at the end of this one, and they'll always be on Twitter every day. Post-week 8 top 6 Heisman rankings. Penix is still my one, but the gap closed. He was poor. There's some guys that are in the race. I think it's really a 3-horse race, potentially 4. J.J. McCarthy, 2. Jordan Travis, 3. And then Dylan Gabriel, I think, still has an outside shot. I have Jaden Daniels now, the quarterback of LSU. He's putting up numbers. He could still make some noise. He beats Alabama. Never know. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver at Ohio State. I have him in there at 6. What is Gus call him? Maserati Marv? Love that nickname. All right, post-week 8. Post-week 8. Power 23 college football rankings. Number 1, Michigan. Number 2, Ohio State. They're 7-0. Michigan's 8-0. Georgia at 3, they're 7-0. Florida State at 4, they're 7-0. Washington at 5, they're 7-0. Oklahoma at 6, they're 7-0. Oregon at 7, 6-1. Texas at 8, 6-1. Alabama at 9, 7-1. And Penn State at 10, 6-1. Those are the teams that realistically, even though I don't think Penn State has a prayer because I don't think they'll beat Michigan, those 10 teams have the best, have the most realistic shot at the playoff. I do have Notre Dame at 11. They don't have a chance, in my opinion. Oregon State and Utah are interesting, I guess. I just don't think they'll get in, but they're my 12 and 13, both 6-1. Ole Miss at 14, they're 6-1. LSU at 15, they're 6-2. Missouri at 16, they're 7-1. Air Force at 17, they're 7-0. So right now, they're my leader for the group of five to get in. Tulane at 18, they're 6-1. James Madison at 19, they're 7-0. Not eligible for a bowl game, though, because of the dumb rule. USC at 20, they're 6-2. Kansas State at 21, they're 5-2. North Carolina falls to 22, they're 6-1. Louisville at 23, they're 6-1. My next five out, Kansas, Duke, UCLA, Florida, Tennessee. Top five games of the week. Had a big week last week, went 4-1. That was huge. Gets me to 26-19. Need another big week. Number six, Oklahoma at Kansas. I'm going to go Oklahoma. Obviously, diehard KU fan, but I'm going to go Oklahoma 38-31. Duke at number 23, Louisville. I'm going to go Duke 20-17. This could change, though, if Riley Leonard's out again. I could flip to Louisville. Number three, Georgia at Florida. I'm going to go Georgia 27-17 on the road. Number seven, Oregon at number 14, Utah. Give me Oregon 31-23. And number two, Ohio State at Wisconsin. Give me Ohio State 31-17. Yeah, so some things I want to go over again real quick. Talking about the Warriors, I see a lot of people have the Warriors really high up in their rankings, finishing in the top four. I don't necessarily see it. I think you're counting on Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and a lot of other young guys to really step up and be able to be significant players for them. I don't know how they're going to be good defensively with Chris Paul at the one and Steph at the two. I just don't see it. I think that at most they're a five seed. I just think they're a top end play-in team though. Could I see them getting the six? Sure, but I have them at seven. I think top four is way too high for this team. Don't necessarily think they're deep. But yeah, and I think the East is a two horse race. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Bucks and Celtics, unless there's serious injuries, those are the two teams that are going to be in the conference finals. Like I said, cannot wait for the NBA to begin. And let's get into some UFC 294 reactions. So, wow, Islam Makhachev head kicks Volkanovski and finishes him in round one. Was that special? Islam Makhachev is the best fighter on planet Earth. I don't care what you John Jones dick riders say. Islam Makhachev is the best pound-for-pound fighter on planet Earth. I don't really care if he faces Gaethje or Oliveira next. He beats both of them. You can put them both up against him. He can go Oliveira, and then 3 or 4 months later, Gaethje, and he beats both. We'll get into the real challenge, I think, for him. Tough loss for Volk. He kind of spoke about it, going through some mental health issues that, you know, I just really need to get active. And, you know, he said, Islam's probably not the guy you should take a fight on 12 days notice with, but I have confidence in myself, and I really wanted to be active. That's tough. Yeah, that's tough. You know, he kind of, I think he made the wrong decision. It was a gangster move, him and Usman, but, you know, I don't know. Tough decision. Save the card, but they could have got Poirier in there, and he could have just fought Topuria and then fought Islam down the line. Hamzat has a dominant round one, edges out Usman via majority decision. So I've gone back and watched, and I go back and forth on the rounds. I can see the case for everybody. I can actually see the case for the majority draw, how they scored at 29-27, 10-8 round one, and then they split 1-1 the last two. I can also see the case for a draw, 10-8 round one, Usman wins the last two. Can also see the case for an Usman win. This is why the 10-9 must is ridiculous. It should be a point something system. It should be a 10-9.5, because let's be honest, the way Khamzat won round one is nowhere near. If you thought Usman won rounds two and three, there's no way you can say that those two rounds are as close as round one. I think it is worse. I think that round one should be more than a 10-9. I think 10-8.5, 10-8 is fair. Because I think Usman's, if you give Usman round 2 and 3, I think they're like 10 to 9.5. I think they're just super close. And that's the problem with the system. A guy can have a dominant round 1, and some judge could say, I think it's still 10-9, though. And then Usman or somebody could sneak out the last two rounds and win a decision. I don't think that tells you the fight, you know? Like, it's not like Usman clearly won rounds 2 and 3. That's different. If you gave them to him, which I still can't decide. If you gave them to him, I just don't think that you can say Usman clearly won the fight. I think Khamzat won the fight. It was close, though. It was really close. Usman, ton of respect for him. Gangster move again. Ton of respect. Walker and Ankalaev ends in a no contest. Doctor makes a weird decision. Okay, so the doctor came in the ring, asked Johnny Walker where he was at. Johnny Walker doesn't say Abu Dhabi. He says, I'm in the desert. Johnny Walker's a joker. I'm in the desert, is what he said. And they said, no, he can't continue. Okay, well, first off, why was he not allowed? You should have probably allowed him the full 5, then ask him if he's okay. You get 5 minutes to recover. So why was he not gifted that length before you decide to stop the fight, right? Secondly, why is it not a disqualification? Petr Yan's was a disqualification. Was it more brutal? For sure. But he was clearly on the ground. Ankalaev kneed him in the head. That's a loss. Johnny Walker should have won that fight. It's a disqualification, plain and simple. So I don't understand what's going on there. I think that Johnny Walker and his team have every right to appeal and say, no, that's a disqualification. It's not a no contest. My guy was kneed illegally. Something's got to be done there. Ikram Alexarov, TKO's Rorley Alves in round 1, as I thought, what a fucking train wreck he is. I mean, he's going to be a nightmare. Hopefully a big opponent coming. Muhammad Mokaev and Syed Nurmagomedov get big sub wins. Mokaev was actually down 2-0 on 2 scorecards to Tim Elliott heading into that round 3 when he got the submission. Syed Nurmagomedov just quick and easy. So let's get into a little what's next, what I would like to see. Mokaev, Alex Perez, big jump. I like that fight. Syed Nurmagomedov, I'd like a jump as well. Ricky Simone, who's ranked. Ikram Alexarov, I'm fine with running back Nasruddin Imavov. That was supposed to happen. I'm fine seeing that fight rebooked. Magomed Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker 2 is what I'd like to see, even though I still think it should be overturned to a DQ. For Kamaru Usman, if he wants to stay at middleweight, I like the Robert Whittaker fight. I think that's awesome, right? If he wants to go back down, I think Bilal Muhammad makes a ton of sense, right? I don't think the UFC is ready to give... I truly think what the UFC is going to do is the Edwards-Covington winner is going to fight Islam. That's what I kind of think is going to happen. Seriously, I think that's going to happen. Khamzat Chimaev, I'm fine with the title fight for Strickland. If they don't want to and they want to see him fight somebody else, I'm fine just doing the guy that I think probably deserves it the most out of anybody at middleweight, even though the UFC is going to punish him for not taking the Izzy fight. Khamzat versus Dricus du Plessis, why not? Alexander Volkanovski, Ilya Topuria is easy. I don't want it to happen in January, though. I'd like Volk to take a little time off. For Islam Makhachev, like I said, number 1 for me is Edwards Covington winner. I want to see that the most. I don't think there's a real challenge for him at 155. But if they do, it sounds like he's fine doing 155, Charles Oliveira will be the fight. All right, and to end it, Fury Ngannou is happening Saturday. Boy, I cannot wait for this. I know people are like, oh, shit show fight. Who cares? It's fun. It's the best heavyweight in boxing versus the best heavyweight in MMA. It's the lineal UFC heavyweight champion versus the lineal boxing heavyweight champion. I mean, it doesn't get up more awesome. I love it. So a little bit of keys to victory. And Ngannou, I think he's got to be aggressive. This is what don't take the Conor approach and try to outbox Fury. That's what Conor did. Conor went in there trying to preserve energy and outpoint and outbox Floyd Mayweather. That's never going to happen. I think if you're Ngannou, you got to be looking to get it out of there inside four rounds. I think inside 4, maybe 5 rounds, you got to get him out of there. The problem is you're dealing with a crazy guy. Fury, just be Fury, right? Wear on him, counter his mistakes, get him out of there when you can, though. Don't let him linger, especially if you have him hurt early, get him out of there. Again, I don't see Ngannou's chances as much more than a puncher's chance, but I'm very excited to see this go down. Odds right now are Fury minus 1,000, Ngannou plus 600, as you might think. I'm going Tyson Fury via round 4 KO / TKO. I think maybe the first two rounds, he jabs, stays away a little. I think round 3 starts to get going. Francis, I think, starts to get a little pissed off, overextends somewhere. Fury catches him, puts him away in round 4. That's my prediction for Fury and Ngannou. Can't wait to watch it, though. It's going to be awesome. So, again, the podcasts are going to get more loaded up. Going to be a lot more to talk about now with the NBA being back, as well with the NFL and college football running. Also, always combat sports as well. So the podcasts are going to get more loaded, a lot more to talk about, which I love, obviously. KB and the boys will be back on Thursday, of course. We'll have Games of the Week, Survivor League, Panel Parlay, locks, bets I like, obviously, since I'm eliminated from locks, and also obviously Carter and Colby's Hockey Talk. Hopefully the Phillies win game 7 tomorrow. I'm rooting for the Bryce Harper and the Phillies to win it all. Champions League back tomorrow. Footy real quick. Match day 9. Okay, so hold on, let me get this in real quick. I did not have a single loss. I had 8 wins, 0 losses, and 2 draws. So that brings my tally up to 54 wins, 17 losses, 19 draws. So match day 9. Tottenham at Crystal Palace, give me Tottenham 2-1. Brentford at Chelsea, give me Chelsea 1-0. Sheffield at Arsenal, give me Arsenal 3-0. Burnley at Bournemouth, going Burnley in an upset here. They need it. 2-1 Burnley. Newcastle at Wolves, another upset. Wolves 2-1. Everton at West Ham, give me West Ham 2-1. Luton at Villa, give me Villa 3-0. Fulham at Brighton, give me Brighton 3-1. Nottingham Forest at Liverpool, give me Liverpool 2-0. And the Manchester Derby, City versus United, upset. I'm going United 2-0. Kind of a wild week by me. But hey, it's been a good... I've been picking well in Premier League, so... But yeah, like I said, we'll be back Thursday with KB and the boys. And make sure y'all watch NBA Tips Off tomorrow. Lakers at Nuggets, ring night for the Nuggets. To open it up, go Lake Show. And then your late game is Suns at Warriors. Great, 2 great games to tip it off. Can't wait. But yeah, thank you guys again for listening. Peace.